Like to call an order the April 24th, 2018 meeting of the Derry Township Board of Supervisors. If you'd be so kind as to rise to the pledge of allegiance. The pledge of allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So it's posted in the meeting room. I want to apply to those persons attending tonight's meeting that it is and has been the policy of the Township of Derry to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. May I have the roll call, please?
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Member Susan Court?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Dustin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moore?
Here. And the Board of Supervisors met in executive session before tonight's meeting to discuss legal issues. Brings us to visitor and public comments. Anybody wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, I ask that they approach the podium, identify themselves by name and their address, and ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. That would be greatly appreciated. Seeing none, next item. Oh, do we have something? Please.
Hi, I'm Sharon Miller, address 441 Elm Avenue, Hershey, and I'm here actually as a citizen, but also as a member of the board of the Friends of Hershey Public Library, and just wanted to bring up a concern regarding the rec center that's being built. I recognize that the rec center definitely does need some improvement, but I do have some concerns regarding the extensive renovation, the amount of money that's being spent, as well as how inclusive for the whole community it is. The library also offers some of the space that the new rec center wants to provide, but I just think that we could have done that. There could be a better job done at making it more of a global campus, so that it really does meet more of the needs of the community, as opposed to just a few of those people. So I would just ask that you would give that some consideration before you make any final decisions.
Thank you very much, Chair. Anyone else who would like to press for? Please, ma'am.
I'm Sally Farrar. I live at 945 Greenlee Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. My concern is, a couple weeks ago, I was walking from the back of the library where the tech center is. I'm thirsty. I'm sorry. Out to the circulation desk, and I fell. And I did a good fall. If it had been a comedy, you'd all be laughing. And I wasn't hurt, fortunately. But the floor in the library is a known issue to the township. And I'm concerned with everything that's going on now about the possibility that the township will not be willing to maintain the library in the future. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And first and foremost, I'm very happy to hear that you weren't injured. I believe the library floor has been identified and is on the project list for being addressed as well. Is there anyone else that would like to address the Board of Supervisors? Hearing none, next item on the agenda is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for April 10th, 2018. So I have a motion to approve those minutes. So moved by Mr. Engel. Second by Mr. Ford. Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are adopted unanimously. Item 8 through 14, authorization for the Chairman of the Board of Supervisors to execute Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant for the new Hershey Volunteer Fire Company Station. Laura?
Thanks. This is for the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. We received $250,000. This goes towards the paying off the debt for the fire station. This is year 4 of 5 of their annual requests, and This item is looking for authorization for the chairman to execute the grant agreement document.
Are there any questions or comments for Lauren on this item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that the authorization for the chairman of the board of supervisors to execute a grant agreement for the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program for the new Hershey Volunteer Fire Station project be approved. I'll make that motion.
Second
by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion is granted unanimously. Thank you. The next item is B 1 through 69, consideration of the sketch plan for the Hershey West End Master Plan Mixed Use Development, plat number 1296. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan represents 245.8 acres of land located along 322, fronting on Romville Road, Bullfrog Valley Road, and Wood Road. It's located within the township's planned campus west zoning district. It also has the planned campus west future overlay zoning, as well as a few buffer zoning overlays. There's some existing development on the property. It's comprised of the Coco Beanery, the HCAR, Hershey Center for Applied Research, the recently expanded UGRO Childhood Learning Center, and then also there's an existing barn on there that we'll be seeing a plan for before too long. For Inglewood Barn for a restaurant and music venue. The site also contains portions of the Jonathan Eschenhauer Trail presently. The trail will remain as an integral part of the development. The Hershey West End is best summarized as a mixed-use, multi-building planned community development under premise of traditional town planning and implementing many smart growth principles. The community proposes a mix of the following uses: a hotel and conference center, a medical office building, commercial retail, restaurants, recreational uses, institutional uses, an open space with single family, townhouse, assisted living apartments, and age restricted apartments located on it. It'll contain a network of pedestrian trails to circulate through the development. The stormwater management will be dispersed throughout the community, eventually crossing 322 into what's now called Bullfrog Valley Creek. The project's anticipated to be developed over a period of 10 to 15 years and is expected to include approximately six phases of approval as shown on the screen. It's also anticipated that West End Drive will likely be constructed in phase three, providing a second means of ingress and egress to the property, as it's going to be difficult to access Wood Road because of the slopes. The initial analysis for potential water and sewer for the property yields that approximately 1,024 EDUs will be necessary for the full build-out development. It's understood that the treatment capacity for the sewer is not a concern. However, it's likely that there'll be an off-site pumping station. Based on early discussions with American Water, sufficient water capacity also exists. The site is particularly well-suited for the development. It is, the grades throughout are gentle until you get to the steeper slopes along Middletown Road. The bulk of the more steeply sloping land is going to be retained as open space area as part of the development.
Chuck, did you say Middletown Road?
I'm sorry, Wood Road. Yeah. If I did say Middletown, I meant Wood. There's approximately 11.4 acres of floodplain on the property, and that's located along Bullfrog Valley Road, and approximately 4/10 of an acre of wetlands. Isolated pocket of wetlands is not intended to be developed as part of the, or relocated as part of the development. They're going to work around that. The property proposed for development currently consists of five separate parcels. The plan to be considered by the township will join all of them into one tract. Property is currently subject to a declaration of condominiums. That's how the existing uses have been developed there. It's anticipated that that will continue on for the commercial uses, with the residential uses to be determined yet. The plan will provide spaces, civic spaces, reservations for easements for stormwater management. Within the development will all be identified as common and limited common elements. Streets will be offered for dedication to the township, and that will include the present access into the property, which is not a township road. The property is being filed as a master plan. This will be our first eligible master plan. We did see a master plan submission with the carousel development on Middletown Road. However, that one also required a zoning change. In this case, I believe that they conform with all the requirements of the master plan, that the compliant with our official map, with our comprehensive plan. So they're following the right development approval process here. When we look at the official map, goal number 16 out of the official map was to create a Waltonville Route 322 on-ramp, and goal 24 was to create a connector road between Bullfrog Valley and Middletown Road. This proposal will start that connector road, and it also addresses the access to 322. The services that are proposed within the development are complementary to the surrounding neighborhood, as it will afford our residents in the area access to pretty much all the facilities that they need, from medical to restaurant to food services. It will also, this project will also provide some much needed housing to help support the Hershey Medical Center, and I believe that's one of the primary benefits of the development and one of the reasons why it's being proposed. So I and Matt Bonanno and DTMA have all reviewed the plans. I offered in my staff comments a few comments. I don't know that I need to read through them. I'm sure they're in your packets. With that introduction, I think the applicant may like to address the board as well, if you could entertain that.
Sure, absolutely. Ken?
Ken Golvers, Trust Company. First, I'd say how much we appreciate the process of that was created in the new zoning and the comp plan to present something as a comprehensive package. And I think we have, and I hope we have, thought things through in terms of what the mixed uses are, rather than the individual. And none of this, Chuck calls smart, everybody calls smart growth, would have been possible without supervisors, working with, let's do something a little bit different this township as far as growth patterns and preventing some things that may have happened in the past. So thank you for that. Tonight, if we're going too long, do the we'll have our engineers stop if we need to. But we thought we'd go through the just a walkthrough of the plan. Dave Shetty will introduce kind of the process that this is really just the start of. And we've had some public meetings. We've been in the process of developing this plan for a long time. But this past month was the first time this is a public presentation of a sketch plan. Bill Fredger from RGS will present the plan itself, and Craig Malott from Traffic Planning and Design is here for just questions. If there's questions, likely to be traffic. And the other parts of my team, we have Joan Bolts and Jensi Sani from the Trust Company. I'm joining this evening also. And Greg Cruises, I think everybody knows. You've seen him before. He's project manager with us also. So thank you very much, and we'll be available, all of us will be available for questions during and after the presentation.
Any questions for Ken before this? No?
Good evening, David Sharif Pepper Hamilton. We represent Hershey Trust Company. And echo Ken's thanking this board and the staff for having us this evening and for the work done thus far. The new zoning ordinance was adopted March 28th, 2017. That basically started the formal process for preparing the master plan. The property, as Mr. Emmer indicated, is located in the Plan Campus West District, which allows for a master plan to be developed for the property. And the master plan process is a conditional use process, one which will include, after tonight's meeting, an application that will be quite voluminous. It needs to include all of the elements of an application that are set forth in your zoning ordinance. After that application is submitted, that application will be reviewed by the Planning Commission, and then a hearing will be held before the Board of Supervisors to assure that all of the elements that are necessary for conditional use of a master plan approval have been met, and then we hope that this board will approve the master plan subject to the conditions that are agreed to and provided in the decision. So as Ken was saying, this is really the beginning of the process. What we've prepared and submitted to you on March 6th of this year was a sketch plan, which is required under the zoning ordinance prior to a master plan conditional use application, and as Mr. Emmer pointed out, that it has been reviewed by the staff. And before the sketch plan was even prepared, we've had almost a half a dozen meetings with the township staff and others to discuss the process, including a large open house that was hosted at the Cocoa Beanery last summer. So with that, again, the process is at its very beginning. Earlier this month, we presented the same information to your Planning Commission, and we're not presenting to this board. There's no approval process of a sketch plan, rather, it's just for informational purposes and to receive comments from you this evening. That will help inform the preparation of the conditional use application. I open myself to any questions, and I'm going to pass it on to Bill Fredericks, who can describe the development in much more detail.
Thank you, Dave.
Page one.
Thank you very much, Bill Fredericks, RG Associates. We did submit, as Mr. Shetty mentioned, a sketch plan submission. We had a narrative in there. We had a formal plan. So we had the sketch plan booklet. I'd like to just run through this. Mr. Hunter did actually a great job covering a lot of the topics. But it does include a lot of information. I'd like to just freeze quickly, and then we'll open up questions. And it is a sketch plan. We are here for your feedback and your comments as we move forward. So this is just the cover sheet. So it's just the table of contents. You see a pretty picture view there, which I'll get into a little more detail later. Again, sketch plan narrative, that's looking down West End Ave. This is the existing conditions plan. We've got a Hummelstown Borough to the northwest. This direction here, we're obviously in Derry Township. Wood Road, Waltonville, Bullfrog Valley, 322, approximately 250 acres. I know Mr. Emmer had the exact amount, say approximately 250. You've got the existing conditions here, the existing HR building, the Beanery, the Amblewood Barn project that I think we were here for a sketch plan to discuss, and then the UGrow expansion there. This is the illustrative plan. This kind of gives you the overview of what we're looking at here. here. Obviously, a bunch of different uses. I won't go through them all, but actually, on this plan, it is a good spot to discuss stormwater. There are, I'll say, two main discharges from the site. The ultimate discharge is under 322 approximately here. Most of the site kind of drains to this corner. There's a cross pipe under Waltonville, and then goes across 322 for this pipe here. That kind of splits, let's say, half the site approximately. The other half kind of goes to this low point here under 322, again, another pipe discharge. Some of it does drain to Bullfrog Valley Creek, but it's mainly contained within the existing HR building and then the medical office buildings in this area here. We are proposing a series of stormwater basins. They'll be in series, one flows into the other and to the next for peak accentuation, water quality standards. The basins at the bottom, these larger blue areas, would be more of your traditional basin. We're going to need it just for volume. There's going to be a lot of stormwater. Those are going to be your bigger, you know, 6-8 feet deep side slopes. These on the upland.
Or just a second, just to be clear, you show them in blue, but they won't have water.
Correct. This is right after a rain. You'll see lots of pictures right after a rain. We've done some initial geology and mapping, and this is not ideal to hold water for long periods of time. So, yeah, this is right after a rainstorm. You'll see lots of pictures.
The cover photo is also passed right after a rainstorm.
Yeah.
The water feature photo of the town.
But, you know, that's the point. It is, they are intended to be dry basins for water quality. It was certainly need to mitigate it. It was a certain length of time you have to hold it to meet water quality.
It won't be voting.
This is a senior housing component. This is the west end, as Mr. Emmerich kind of pointed out. This senior housing component is right here. There's approximately 100 apartments in the restricted living units. Just incorporating into the overall plan, smart growth, some senior living, some residential, townhomes, apartments. Land use plan, just kind of splitting it up. You've got your commercial existing features here, medical office buildings, hotel conference center. The green is your parkland area, your red is your commercial retail restaurant, and then your yellow becomes your residential use. This is just a breakdown of development yields. This is where we get into the existing features. This is the Englewood Barn project that was talked about before. This blue blob is actually a nice existing tree that will remain, so this is not a water feature. You got your U-Grow expansion here. You're almost done, I think, if not done. Your expansion and your medical office building down here. Medical office complex, a portion of this, say approximately here, but actually it's right here, exists now. We've obviously expanded that and kept that same thing to the parking lot. You got your, we'll call it medical office building 2, medical office building 3, and then your hotel conference center there. This gets into the commercial district. You've got some retail. Some office building use, your restaurant use that I'm on the screen. Again, right up there, rainstorm, you'll see some detailed aerial views there. So this picture is the cover sheet looking at an aerial view. In the background there, that large building is the hotel conference center area. And right in front of that is the restaurant retail use. So intended to be a nice outdoor seating area. Again, right after a rainstorm, looking out on the screen area. Some connectability between the two, connectability along the site. You've got your office, retail use along here. This area up here is a park area. There's not a lot of existing trees on site, but this is one spot where there is, so we are trying to preserve those and incorporate those into the park area. And this is looking along, it's called the boardwalk area. This is that meandering conveyance area here. It's kind of behind the restaurant area. Again, just a nice seating area.
So in that picture, the hotel would be
To your right.
To the right,
yeah. Again, residential district, there's a mix of, you know, apartment units, 4-6, multiple. There's townhome mix and single family. And this is just a perspective view along West End looking at the townhomes. Kind of gives you an idea of the size, kind of just varying, you know, kind of gives some break and aesthetic. Parking diagram, This kind of just gives a breakdown of parking. I think the next one, I think, starts to get into the shared parking. So we are going to utilize shared parking on this. If you look at the requirements, if you do them on a strip, retail is one per, five per 1,000 square feet or whatever it ends up being. It gives you the required 2,316. We're providing 2,100 something. And just based on the shared parking, what happens is, depending on the use, the time of day, the parking fluctuates. So an office would be like an 8 to 5. You're going to be 100% masked, but your retail is not really going to be, 100% occupied. So just, it is per the ordinance that is in there, and just using utilizing that breakdown, we're able to meet the parking requirement and the actual demand for what's going to be on the site.
And I'll add to that, that was put in the ordinance so that we don't have more parking than we need. It's taking a reasonable look at what's required over the course of the day.
Open space diagram, I think the thing to highlight here are the trails, and I think there will be another slide of trails up here. Again, utilizing the existing trail, making the connection to the Oakmont area. This is existing to the Bullfrog Valley Pond, keeping the existing connection across Waltonville there, and then obviously it goes throughout the site. You've got some interior open space areas, some exterior open space areas, so certainly a walkable use of the site. I think the next slide actually. Here's the trail diagram. Dark green exists, light green is proposed, and then the yellow is the sidewalk connectivity. It's just a quick topography plan. We have, kind of taken the initial steps and looking at how this is going to lay out site-wise. Starting with the master plan, we'll give more detail than that. West End Connector, again, this is kind of the main thoroughfare through the project, coming off 322 and aligning that connection there. And then these are the right-of-way roads as well. I won't go too much into detail with the cross-sections. What I will say is we did try to take into account the different commercial areas, the residential areas, and kind of think about the setbacks as applicable, making sure if we had overhangs, into, obviously not overhangs into the right-of-way, making sure they were set back far enough so that overhangs were outside that area. And then we just start breaking down by phases. Phase one is the existing features. Phase two includes the Englewood Barn, Hotel Conference Center, Medical Office Building. Phase three, you get to make your connection out to Waltonville, then your commercial area, you start getting into some residential zones, some commercial, and then phases five and six are both residential zones. We did start thinking about building types and how these are going to fit on site. These are very generic, just kind of gives you an idea of a picture. Different, four unit, six unit, multi unit, different apartments, apartment buildings. As Mr. Shelley mentioned, we did meet with the township. I think one of the meetings we did actually run through a previous version of the sketch plan, so we made some modifications. Since then, we did review the sketch plan with the Planning Commission, and we're evaluating as a team, how to address those and incorporate those going forward. We do have sketch plan comment letters, which are very appreciated, sincerely, and certainly things to look for and address as we move forward with the master plan. And we're here tonight for your feedback. Welcome your comments, suggestions. Any questions for Bill?
First of all, thank you for sending us all of this. It's been a very thoughtful process, and we appreciate all the time and effort you're putting into this, because this will clearly be a benefit to our community and definitely better than potential new office parks. So it's exciting to see all the work that's going in, and appreciate staff time as well. Obviously, the public saw this at your open house in the summer. Is there a place online where people can view this information? Or can there be?
There's the flyer, and then this page or network. That's the illustrative plans online. It's hdcre.realestate.com. hdcrealestate.com.
Okay.
And there's a link there that has West End. We're adding in the next couple of days there's a link there that allows people to ask
email questions, and based on, and we've probably gotten 30 or 40, interesting enough, about half want to know when they could buy a house, which I guess tells you something about demand in Hershey right now. But we, based on those questions, and then questions we've gotten from the community and you know, staff and planning commission, we created a frequently asked questions page, about 4 pages long, that we uploaded. I don't know if they got them today or tomorrow, but it's kind of lays out, you know, why are we doing this and what's the connection to the medical center and, you know, some of those things. So,
with the 6 phases, could you just, for our reminder and the public edification, kind of timing, you know, phase one is this, and it's going to
phase one it is, if we go back to that chart.
Anna White.
Phase one is really what's existing today. So pretty confusing to calling that phase one. And one qualifier, we're trying to project the phases and what makes sense. You know, you could see some fluctuation. Phase two incorporates the Englewood barn. And I think the final plan will be before you within a couple of weeks here, I think, or within a few weeks. It also includes a medical office building that we've been working with Penn State on doing, and hopefully we'll be doing the land development plan on that about the same time as you're getting approval on the master plan. It also currently include the hotel. That hotel may or may not shift to the phase three, and this will be the toughest phase to figure out, because what we're recognizing is the idea that we can continue to push traffic out on the Bullfrog Valley Road without doing the actual construction of the road to go through. It has to occur fairly early in the process. That was one of the reasons, you know, that senior housing component, and you're trying to pay for the infrastructure and try to put some buildings in there up front, but it's a lot of the retail, a lot of the, some of the apartments.
And roughly when is phase three?
Keep my ears straight. Probably construction would be 2020 if things were going well. What we have built into the phasing plan, is one of the benefits of the phasing plan, is the economy and the market in Hershey is going fairly well right now. What we won't do is build for anticipation. There's not a market for it. So if we have a downturn and there's not a market for apartments, we'll just slow down on the next phase. So right now we anticipate that in about 2020. After that, it becomes a little more speculative. Our speculation on complete sell-out is 10 to 15 years from today.
And Susan, if I can just add, that phase starts, as Ken said, with projection for the start of that phase, which is a significant piece of this, would probably start around 2020, but it's probably a 3-year build-out for just that phase before moving on to the other ones. There's a lot of infrastructure work that has to happen before the building construction can happen. So,
Greg always keeps me honest on how long it takes.
And obviously, as things ebb and flow and, you know, maybe get delayed, you look at the infrastructure and then make adjustments as needed. I mean, you wouldn't get into a phase and then not have a way for people to safely or quickly get from point A to point B.
I believe part of the conditional use approval document will have a requirement in there as it relates to West End Avenue. I mean, I don't think the township's going to allow us to build too much without there's a commitment, a letter of credit or something that says, hey, if a phase slows down and that road's needed, that you've got some ability to force us to do that road, regardless of whether we're building buildings along that road or not.
One more quick one for this round, and I'll turn it over to everybody else. But regarding stormwater, clearly that's a concern for all of us in the community. And when you talk about Bullfrog Valley Pond, you know, anybody who's watched that during floods knows that that can be a terrible area. And I think most people would think that with construction that would add to stormwater issues, and in some cases it can actually help mitigate it. So I'm hoping you can just kind of give kind of a broad picture of what you're doing, planning to do, and how that may actually help and hopefully not hurt the stormwater issues here.
Yep, certainly. We're going to certainly address township regulations, DEP regulations of the conservation district. Again, two main drainage points, the middle of the site essentially, and that's kind of split, let's say, down the middle of this section here. To the left goes this way, to the right goes this way. We will essentially, we'll meet what those existing pipes are doing. Again, we had this meeting with the township, kind of talk through it of how much flows are essentially with the flow coming off the site, even the existing condition exceeds what those pipes are allowing. And the discussion in that meeting was to cut back for what those pipes are doing. So we're, based on that discussion, we're not allowed to exceed what those pipe capacities have. So we're meeting the existing conditions there, if not exceeding those existing conditions there based on just pre-development flows. Bullfrog will certainly address stormwater. Again, it's mainly from this medical office building area. It's actually, if you look at the topo, the drainage line is kind of cut off right around here. It's not from this project. I know this is a big project, but from this portion on this site, it's mainly this medical office building, and we will provide you know, the detention facilities as appropriate to mitigate those stormwater concerns. Yeah. And during, you mentioned ENS in particular, there will be improvements in place to address the erosion runoff, usually sediment basins at the bottom. Usually this place kind of makes most sense for a large ENS facility to kind of capture that runoff there.
And the other thing that would be improved is the drainage from Oakmont just flows right down the middle of here. It creates a there's always there, and that leak pool, not fully designed, but that will need to be addressed, even though that's just the water not coming from the
So stormwater from half the site goes towards, maybe for lack of a better way, Bob Evans?
Not half.
So is it two watersheds? Is that the best way to...
Yeah, I would say it's three. The one that you referenced that goes over 322 in the middle, I believe does eventually connect back where Bullfrog Valley Creek connects.
Mm-hmm.
It is somewhere up here, I think,
okay.
The two connect. But again, we're going to mitigate at this point and not exceed the allowable discharge there.
Okay.
And then same goes for this site. This site is actually a smaller site. I think it's an existing 2436, not very large. Based on the amount of stormwater getting to it now.
Mm-hmm.
So we will essentially hold back a significant amount of water on both those drainage points.
Justin, to give you a sense of perspective, there's about 120 plus or minus acres draining to the pipe that goes underneath 322
mm-hmm.
that contributes to the Bob Evans area,
right.
If you will.
Right.
There's about another 120, 130 going opposite direction. So the 250-acre site, the bulk of the drainage from this property does not even contribute to the watershed that's conveyed along Bullfrog Valley Road,
mm-hmm.
Bullfrog Valley Creek. The bulk of the drainage off of this property is going the other direction.
Okay. And so then that goes through Hummelstown.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had multiple meetings that have included Hummelstown Borough and, you know, conversation related to stormwater controls. It's everybody's concern, we recognize.
Yeah.
Rick,
any
questions?
Yeah, actually I have a couple of questions. Either Ken.
Yeah.
The housing. I know you're gonna be putting up there. Senior housing goes up on phase three.
Yes.
Who's gonna run that? Is it gonna be private or individual condos?
It's to be determined. I mean, what you're not seeing here is the exact, you know, deal structures. We will an RFP of some kind to, you know, whether both those buildings are one developer that we're working with or two.
It's going to be like a mid-rise condo?
Yeah, probably mid-rise. Probably, you know, in that market, they don't seem to do too much in condo. At that point, folks are preferring to rent.
Right. Is that included in the 1,488 residential?
Yes.
That's on the stats, okay. Do you guys, I think maybe a little too early to ask this question, but is there going to be a price range on these homes?
So you are too early.
I thought I'd be way too early. I think I'm just a little concerned that there would be some type of affordable housing in that
vicinity. I guess, and I don't want to call it affordable, but one of the objectives, particularly in the multifamily and attached housing, is a real miss in Hershey of. You know, if there's a technician that gets a job at the medical center and combined they're in that, you know, $100,000 range, there's not too much housing available.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that we want to see McMansions out there.
No, I don't. The lots, I mean, and Chuck, even if you tend to go to that townhouse, they, one thing that dictates the size is even the single family.
Right.
The lots are very small.
Well, I live in the village. Some of the houses they're tearing down to build up. Yeah.
They wouldn't have that opportunity because the lots are, it's a different kind of community. This is new to this market. The side yard setbacks are, again, 30 feet, Chuck?
Five.
And part of that's design. Yeah, I've seen a number of you start going around the country and seeing these places. You got, when you're putting houses close together like that, you account for some of the privacy issues with, you know, L shapes and making sure that people have their privacy.
I think my concern stems from the fact that it's really a nice little development. It's neat.
Yeah.
I like what you guys are doing, but I want to see everybody be able to participate in it.
I fully agree. I mean, it's a tough challenge because, like you said, it all of a sudden. This is a really nice place to live. You know, most of the public, a lot of the public comments have been made a warning, which tells you something. It's a challenge, and we'll have to continue to make sure we're trying to account for that.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Matt?
The state constitution gives every resident of Pennsylvania the right to clean air and clean water. Not only for this generation, but for many generations into the future, which requires us as elected officials to put some value on environmental services provided by open space. Mm-hmm. Have you and your planning given that any consideration? And when you do you look 50 years down the road and what your pretty pictures are going to look like 50 years from now? Maybe look at Briar Crescent Square and see what that looks like.
We will not be using Briar Crescent Square as the architecture. First of all, in terms of building themselves, and I'm a big believer in sustainability, and I don't mean that from a, when you're building something, you're building it to last 100 years, not 25 years. So a lot of that's in building materials and building design. Open space, I think one of the things you'll see, sort of like what you see right now. I mean, you're not seeing us cut the lawn between the existing H-car building and Bullfrog Valley Road, and that's intentional. We're not looking to create mannequin. We're trying to create a true feel of what should open space be. The advantage of the master planning process is rather than do the next building up and add a little bit of open space for that building, we're trying to create a system. And I think we brought the right people in to help with that besides RGS. We got Urban Design Associates and Lacona Branchi, and their expertise nationally is creating an open space and creating a feel. I think, Matt, you'll be pleasantly surprised when this is constructed that this will get you where you want to be.
Ken, there isn't going to be any discussed traffic specifically, or
I guess we have Craig, if there's questions, Craig, you want to step up, because I'm surely not going to try to field
any traffic questions. Can I ask a question to Ken first, and then move on to traffic?
Absolutely.
Okay. And just to your, the point that you just made, if I understand correctly, it's roughly 204 developable acres, and you're developing about half of that.
That's right. It's about 240.
245.
245. I used 250, so it's
but
so
total. Half that. 200 developable, I think.
Net developable acres.
So of that net developable, you're developing half of it.
Approximately.
Yeah. So that goes to the point of open space.
That's right. And,
so a minor point, dog park?
Absolutely.
Along
Waltonville Road, we some of that gap area right there.
And what phase is that?
An early phase. some of the features, I think it's part of phase three, when that road is constructed, first of all, you're going to have to put a lot of the stormwater management at that time, and the dog park.
And Matt, you know why I'm asking, there's some folks that looked at it years ago, and there's some people asking about dog park.
There would be the one project, Norton Commons, which also had where we built, that's the most, they have three of them, and it's the most emotional. Mm-hmm. They got different size rules.
Yeah.
It's from a market standpoint, that's the trend.
Yeah.
They don't care about the kids, but they're worried about their dogs.
Yeah. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're thinking that's produced by anybody?
Yes, I think generally all the open space we're looking at as open space available to the community as well.
Yeah.
Partly, I mean, part of the reason for that is there's going to be retail. You want bodies to come to appreciate. I mean, the farmer's market and cafeteria we've been doing for a couple of years out there was intentional. It's to get people used to that there's something going on here that that will grow in the future.
Right. And sort of to that point, I guess all the roads it's thought would be dedicated to the township at some point.
That's right.
Yeah. So it really becomes eventually becomes part of the town. It's an extension of it.
It's an extension of the town.
Yeah.
And I think, the naming of the project is intentional in terms of as you talk to the residents, particularly the Middletown Road residents, a feeling that that's kind of the end of the township that doesn't have services or didn't ever account for services. It's really, it's the west end of Erie Township. So it's not only this project, it's the west end. It's the west end of Hershey.
Right. And I saw there's a floodplain is there a floodplain in the middle of the site? Is it?
It's a floodplain or wetlands?
There's a floodplain along Bullfrog County. Kind of recently updated. The part in the middle is actually a live floodplain. Which we will, our current plan, the 22x36 plan shows, I think a road feature over it. We got surveyed to get the exact location, and then we'll make adjustments to our plan to avoid the wetland, mm-hmm. So we don't harm those.
Got it. Okay. The entire site is taxable.
That's right.
We pay property taxes, and I think it's part of the master plan process, isn't there? I can't recall where we are with that. There's some type of tax analysis, or is there?
Yeah, we will be required, and once we have these uses, and I think we have it there now nailed of what's going to be built there, mm-hmm. part of the master plan process is an economic impact to the township and to the school district.
Okay.
And we have the vendor or contractor selected to do that. And
I think the encouraging part about that will be the earned income tax, because I think that we have a lot of people that work in Derry Township that don't live in Derry Township, and so we don't get their earned income tax. And I don't know if anybody knows off the top of their head, I think earned income tax is high. It's 27 or 30% of our entire budget. So a lot of people who work in a little town or Lancaster County who come to work at the medical center, all of a sudden will start to get their earned income tax. So that will figure into that. And then just a general comment, Ken, I mean, it's a great plan, and it's exciting. exciting. It's,
We've been excited. It's been a fun thing to work on.
Yeah.
Staff's been great. Supervisors and planning commission have been great. A lot of it is just asking questions and just listening.
Yeah. But to think of what this site could have been in terms of just a lot of office compared to what this is a forward-thinking plan that, you say that the build-out is 10 or 15 years. I would argue that that's going to be closer to 10, depending on the economy, just because I think it's going to be
I tend to agree with you. Some on our office are closer to 15, but they're more conservative.
There's a lot of people who drive a long way to work in Dare Township, and it's going to solve a lot of those.
And when you get traffic, that's one of the traffic numbers. Is that right? You have a way to support it, but I believe 50% of the people that are living here are somehow associated with the medical center.
Yeah. Great. Thanks.
I don't really answer this question, so it's not a rhetorical question, but the economic impact study that you're going to be preparing, is that going to address things like anticipated EIN increase and other types of tax increases or tax revenue increases that we can expect to see from this project?
Yes. Yeah, they call it economic impact. I mean, it's fiscal. The requirements, I think, Chuck, they're right and wrong, is the fiscal impact to the township and the school district.
Right, because once these roads are dedicated, then we will also have some increased costs to maintain.
Expenses associated with it.
Exactly. So both sides of the equation are going to be addressed in that economic impact study. Okay. The West End connector issue. Ken, you and I had spoken about this. I had some questions about the choice of a traffic circle there and the diversion of the feeder route from the feeder route on the 322, instead of routing the feeder route actually away from 322 through a traffic circle, then back up towards 322 and onto the road. This is fairly disappointing.
So yellow one in the middle.
What?
The yellow one.
Right in there. Yeah. I just was curious. It seems, at least on one hand, that the traffic light, which is currently there and seems to be controlling traffic quite well, obviously before all this happens, but it seems like you're extending the route for the people off of Middletown Road and extending the length of their travel onto 322 and towards downtown Hershey a bit. And I was just wondering, I know we're really on the project, how locked in stone this is, and whether it is the most intelligent method by which to facilitate traffic.
I'll turn it over to Craig. I mean, one of the factors in the decision is, as far as PennDOT's concerned, you need to show them why, you need to prove to them why this doesn't work.
Why what doesn't?
A traffic circle. It's the opposite. They start with a traffic circle.
They start with the traffic.
That's their much preferred. I mean, if you can't prove to them that this won't work, they're not going to allow it.
I understand they prefer traffic circles on new construction. Yeah, but you're truncating an existing road and installing a traffic circle on an existing road.
I think from a timing standpoint, you're neutral. From a safety standpoint, you're above neutral.
Okay.
Particularly the traffic coming down Waltonville Road, you're forgetting about.
Well, I'm not saying that's not going to be safe. I'm not going to say that's not going to work well.
And that's the key to why PennDOT's, it's a safety issue.
But can you do both? Can you have the feeder route with a traffic circle which addresses this traffic and Waltonville Road traffic without causing people from Middletown Road to go out of their way to go around a traffic circle on 322.
Good evening, Kramer Wild, West Traffic Planning Design with a transportation engineering firm. Just briefly, in terms of context, We understand track is a key consideration for the plan to decide where it's located. Dave referenced with the master plan that it's in a very early stage, and we're in a very early stage of the transportation impact study as well. So I don't have specific answers on all of these. I can tell you we've started a process of preparing a transportation impact study. That in essence is the planning document that forecasts how much traffic this will generate, what's needed to accommodate access for ingress and egress, and that also assesses off-site impacts. We're in very preliminary stages on the scoping side. It's a rigorous process, start to finish with PennDOT about 18 months or so, where at the end of that, when the study's done, we'll have more answers on some of these things. I can tell you, Ken touched on this, the roundabout is PennDOT's preferred intersection treatment. They prefer it, they require it over signals. Where feasible, it's not feasible everywhere, largely because statistics have shown that the number and severity of crashes are significantly reduced. It's largely because you're slowing traffic down and you're making it into right turns, and you eliminate high-speed left-turn collisions, which is where you often see fatalities. Believe it or not, roundabouts also have a higher capacity for traffic, meaning more traffic can go through an intersection with a roundabout than a traditional intersection with a traffic signal. Part of our scoping process that we're going through right now, the scoping process is really where we identify the development, we talk about what the transportation impact study is going to entail. That very issue that you've raised has been identified, and we've agreed and working with your engineers not just to look at this, but to take a look at some alternatives. So we don't have an answer. There may be all or a portion of the existing interchange that's saved. I mean, certainly for people coming from Hummelstown, down, they would have to circulate it as it currently stands. We need to take a look at this left turn issue here. The other overarching element of this too, just to kind of bear in mind, this is phase one of a larger township vision for a connector road. So this implements the township's desire to connect Waltonville to Bullfrog Valley. Your official map also takes it further long term down to Middletown Road. Where that connector would tie into on Middletown and where it's going to intersect here, you're actually going to be cutting a diagonal where if and when that connector is extended over to Middletown Road, it's actually going to be shorter to come up this way, diagonal, and go this way, than to go up, in essence, to the hypotenuse of the triangles. So long-term, as you take a look at those things, there's things we're trying to balance. We're certainly not trying to increase traffic distance or delay for residents on Middletown Road. We're also trying to balance it against PennDOT standards that we're subject to because they own the road and they ultimately dictate what we can and can't do.
And I understand also it may provide an added benefit, providing a disincentive for truck 18-wheelers coming up Middletown Road wanting to make a right too, because they'd have to execute through a traffic circle as opposed to the feeder route. So there is a positive aspect of it potentially.
Sure. The other element of the roundabout too, which you can do with traffic signals, but if you've seen it with the roundabouts on 322 and Hershey, it's easier to gain an aesthetic that we desire of this development with landscaping and decorative lighting. You can do some of that with signal poles, but the aesthetic that can be achieved with this is we believe to be a lot better than account the traffic signal. So it doesn't mean it's exactly what you see on this plan. It has to be vetted. We have to go through a PennDOT process before we put it here. But as we get into the master plan and studies done and stuff, we'll have more answers on those questions.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
So, and to this point, Craig, I know early on I was really concerned about it taking more time. And so can you also mention some of the limitations with the bridge? And as it, whether it's this development or any future development in Bragg Township, we got some issues coming with the bridge and the proximity of the light to the bridge.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
So today there are there's where the connector road ties into the ramp, there's a signal without any turn lanes.
Right.
And the ramp is located directly adjacent to a bridge, as you know, the overpass. It really needs a left turn lane there to design that southbound this location where you can turn. You need to shift that intersection away. It's really challenging to do that with the bridge that's there and the fixed width of that bridge. To do a substantial improvement at that intersection location, you probably would need to look at modifying that bridge, which is a significant undertaking. This gains the ability to kind of move it away. The one other point I didn't make that PennDOT raised from their perspective, because they're looking at a quarter perspective on Waltonville Road, what this potentially allows us to do is, instead of having three what I'll call major intersections, just intersections that have traffic control, have three, rather than have three that are closely spaced, it'll allow you to separate and have two major intersections. And when you reduce conflict points, you traditionally reduce crashes and then improve the delay that motorists experience. So instead of having these three, you'd have one here and one here and a good distance between them. So that was some of the feedback that very preliminary PennDOT gave us as well as far as this one.
So when you, I don't understand the process, but there's scoping document that you've shared that we're going, that's something that you'll look for sort of buy-in from board supervisors.
Right.
Right. And what is the timing of that?
So we've worked with Chuck and with your staff on the technical details. There's a whole host of technical details that go into the analysis. We have to get a scoping document into PennDOT. It's, at least in my opinion, it's ill-advised to get that scoping document into PennDOT until you've gotten feedback from the township, because PennDOT is concerned about that as well. I think on the HRG side and with Chuck, we're getting close on the technical details in terms of agreeing with their methodologies. I anticipate we'll be submitting to PennDOT to start that process within the next week, potentially.
That doesn't say anybody's agreed to any design. That's just what you're saying.
Right. It's in essence the scope of the study, the parameters we generally agree with, and then that starts the process.
Okay. And for the scoping meeting, the township will be in attendance, and hopefully our representatives from our traffic. Our traffic representatives will be here as well.
Any other questions or comments by anyone? None? Chuck, no action needs to be taken on this item, is that correct?
That's correct. They were after feedback, which you've, I think, given.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone, for taking your time to come and present this to us.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is C3 consideration of release of the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for Country Meadows Hershey Flat number 1251. Housekeeping, sir.
It is.
Very well. All those in.
Some
there you go. Moved by Ms. Grant. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And that consideration passes unanimously. D2, request by the Downtown Hershey Association of Alcoholic Beverages in Chocolate Town Square Park for their Life on Chocolate 2018 event series. Ms. Hummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ordinance number 553 as amended requires the board to approve for any events that are requesting that alcoholic beverages to be on the premises of Chocolate Town Square Park. This request is rolling in the Life on Chocolate event series that the DHA produces, looking at all of the events as one blanket approval. That would include our Market on Chocolate, Music on Chocolate, Culture Fest, Chocktoberfest, and our season kickoff event that will be held May 15th. We typically work with our breweries and wineries to make sure that alcohol service is provided in a responsible manner, that all servers are tip trained or ramp certified, and make sure they have their proper licensing in place.
Any questions for Laura?
This is an ongoing request. We've done this before, so it's nothing new.
Correct, yeah, and it's really just rolling the entire year into one request so that you're not looking at each week individually.
And it has been a traditionally fun event, so.
Good,
thanks. Yeah. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the request for the Downtown Hershey Association of Alcoholic Beverages and Chocolate Town Square Park for the Life on Chocolate 2018 event series. Moved by Ms. Cork, seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And that motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is E110 authorization for a display of street art at the Monarch Conservation Area along Cocoa Avenue. Mr. Irwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we created our new zoning ordinance, we made a provision for street art and murals within the township. And they do require authorization by the Board of Supervisors. This is our first application before the board. This is coming to us from our Environmental Action Committee, primarily, although it's supported by the Hershey Trust Company, the Mandan Conservancy, Friends of Deer Retention Park and Rec, and other entities. What is proposed is a series of butterfly murals that I believe will be throughout Dauphin County, ultimately leading to the Ned Smith Center for Nature and Art. 12 total to be installed over the next 2 years. In this case, they're looking at placing a monarch I understand it, that that would be the design of ours. Along the along Cocoa Avenue, along the road that leads back to the farmhouse, if you're familiar with that one, and actually where there's some butterfly features. Quite simply, the sign itself would be a canvas measuring about 4x4, sandwiched between two pieces of acrylic and on a wooden frame. We're looking for authorization from the board for the sign.
Any questions?
The question is there, I think it's terrific. Is there anything educational on there to add to it, or is it just strictly decorative?
As I understand, what you see there is what will be posted, might be signed by an artist or in any other way. It would seem as though it should lead you to some website to understand the whole thing. I agree. And hopefully we'll get there eventually, even if it's just little handouts on the sign.
And my second question, in your discussions with the groups that are pushing this forward, have they talked about the maintenance of this? I mean, I'm sure it's going to look terrific when they first put it up, but...
As I understand, the maintenance is very minor in nature, so much so that Matt even said, I think it's just painting the fence. It's really the only issue that will be there, whether it's, you know, Friends of the Park or even our Environmental Action Committee.
Anyone wants an education about it? There's a lot going on down there this spring. I'm going to be planting a lot more plants and expanding the butterfly area, the other side should be a little bridge across the little wetland there. So try to keep informed about what's going on, a lot of volunteer activities down there.
Well, I think the sign's a great idea to let people know it's even back there.
Yeah.
Because you try to pass it a lot of times, it's not very visible. I'll entertain a motion to authorize the granting of the butterfly street art as proposed.
Moved
by Ms. Court, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Item F1 is a request to conduct the Bully Blitz 5K run and the 1 mile walk scheduled for Saturday, May 5th, 2018, starting at 9 a.m. on Township Roadways. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The group, the Pities Love Peace Rescue, is planning a 5K run and 1 mile walk to benefit the rescue and adoption of pit bulls and bully mixes on Saturday, the 5th of May, 2018, at 9 a.m. The race starts at Shank Park, a fall bike path to Bullfrog Valley Pond, where they turn around and head way back up the second half. We will need to assist them with some traffic control across Stony Run Drive during Woods Road. Periodically, as runners and walkers are crossing the roadway, don't interfere with traffic. I talked with Matt and Tia briefly. The fishing derby is that day, so I think we can hold off without interfering with the fishing that's going on in the pond, especially since we'll be turning around at the pond and going back and not going past the pond. And they have agreed to, if any overtime is needed, they have agreed to the township's policy on the reimbursement of overtime if needed. We will be using mostly on-duty personnel for traffic control. They have agreed to get overtime if needed.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments for
Chief? Yeah, is it overtime or is it all costs associated with personnel? I thought that raises required the organizers to be billed for all costs, personnel costs.
I don't know if we've done that. If it's something that's we're going to be doing very minor traffic control. It's this is an as needed type thing. From what the traffic safety officer detailed together indicated, most of the time the officer will not be doing much except monitoring that area. So if it's not impacting our minimum manpower requirements,
not costing us anything.
We would not charge for that.
Yeah.
But if it does start to go outside of our minimum manpower, if officers would start getting tied up and we would need to have extra help, and that's when we would start incurring costs.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think the board would agree it's just important that we handle that consistently, because obviously we have a lot of raises that ask for help. And so I'm curious, those roads will stay open, cars can come in and out of the neighborhood, it's just that the officer will be there to make sure that it's a safe manner.
If they see a group of, 10 runners all together, they'll just make sure that they get across that crossing safely without interfering with traffic.
What are we doing to publicize the event or events and traffic?
We post those on our social media feeds. We have a Twitter feed that a lot of people follow for our traffic advisories. So we'll put it out on that. And also our Facebook page to indicate that there's going to be some congestion there and so forth. It's mostly going to be to the residents of those developments.
Thank you.
Do these runners and walkers, are they bringing their dogs with them, or is this just the humans that are participating?
I think for the most part, it's especially for the run part of things, I think it's mostly the humans. But I'm sure some of the walkers may have some of the pets with them.
You guys got to figure it out. I mean, just hearing pistols,
fishing derby,
pooper scoopers. All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion that's requested to conduct an inaugural Bully Blitz 5K run and 1 mile walk scheduled for Saturday, May 5th, 2018, starting at 9 a.m. on Thatcher Roadways on the route approved by Gary Thatcher Police Department, be approved. Moved by Mr. Engel, I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, and that carries unanimously. Brings us to the next item on the agenda, the correspondence for committee information. Mr. Zamuda.
I attended the PSATS conference on Sunday. Unfortunately, I was unable to make one on Monday, as previous minutes. But I don't know, I guess you guys have gone to it already. That's like the State Association for Township. It's really nice. It's really nice. A lot of great ideas out there. It's almost too much information to take in. Hopefully, I'll get a lot more next year.
Thank you. Mr. Weir.
Derrick Township Environmental Action Committee had a successful recycling program on Saturday. A lot of good information was disseminated to about 40 people. I also attended the PSATS conference the last 2 days. A lot of good programs there, a lot of good information, ranging from flooding to zoning, just a lot of issues that pertain to townships and supervisors.
Thank you. Susan?
Just wanted to mention to everybody, May 21st is the last. This season, Hershey All Things Diversity series held at the Hershey Story. This one's going to be really great. It's they're all great, but this one's going to be really good. It's a panel discussion. So representatives from our community who are representing different diverse groups who are going to be coming and kind of sharing their stories and opening up for questions from the community. So the event is free. All you need to do is go on the township website and you'll see a link for registration. So it's been really successful this year. We're looking forward to starting it up again in the fall. Other than that, I've been very busy daily or many times a day having different community center meetings, and I would just like to extend an invitation to not just the ladies who spoke tonight, but really anybody in the community. If you have questions about the project, please just let us know. I think sometimes it's just easier picking up the phone or sending us an email, or we can talk after the meeting. I think the more information the community has, the more understand the project and how much we're working together, not against each other, but together to make the community better and more whole. And certainly I know Matt and Laura have talked to to talk about ways to partner and bring the community center and the library together, so it's for the betterment of everybody in the community. So just want to let you know when Kirby said, and be happy to talk to you after the meeting. Thank you.
Justin, anything to add?
No.
Thank you. Next item is our reports. Chief, anything to report?
Nothing this evening.
Thank you. First of all, volunteer fire company, Mr. Seth.
Yes, just a couple things.
For our first quarter responses are 191. It's actually up 20% from last year. Currently, we have five members out in Indiana. They're attending the FDIC conference, which is Fire Department Instructor Conference, which is live fire training with seminars. And lastly, I'd just like to thank you for the grant application and the support.
Public Works, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The crosswalk that was in question, I believe there was an email flying around today at Valley and Chocolate. It is on our short list. We're planning on doing that as soon as we can now. The road temperatures have to be at least 50 degrees for the thermoplastic to stick, and they also have to be very dry. So as soon as we get that weather, and like I said, it's on our short list. All of our resources have been in the last couple of weeks with the Long Valley Pond and moving a lot of soil around to the landfill while we have the big track loader here. So we will get to it very soon.
Thank you,
Bob. I'd like to thank you for helping out with the tree vitalize. And I forgot to mention that we're looking for volunteers for this Saturday, too, to plant about 23 trees. I think all in the village was here. So anyone who has a strong back and desire to come out and help us get the trees in the village, more than welcome. We'll be meeting down at the rec center at about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Weir. We did receive half the trees today, and tomorrow the rest of them are coming. And then later this week, we will be drilling the holes for you and placing the trees at the sites.
Thank you.
Laura, anything we have to
add? Yes. This Friday, we've got our annual volunteer appreciation luncheon, and so we're just trying to show how much we appreciate all of you volunteer, as well as the many people who are in the audience today to volunteer in the library. We're very lucky to have a very supportive community.
Thank you.
Cheryl. Hi, Bonnie. Thank you.
Matt.
Just quickly, I want to thank the Public Works Department for their outstanding job at Bullfrog Valley Pond. It was an amazing amount of material that stream mouth and leading into the pond. They did a really nice job. And there's still some bank renovations that need to occur. We're going to wait until after the fishing derby, which once again is Saturday, May 5th from 8 to 10 for kids 12 and under. And we'll have a special turnaround for that ride and for the race and the walk. So we'll have that squared away down there. And then lastly, just a reminder to the board and the public, that we'll be presenting the schematic design for the Community Recreation Center at our next township meeting, which is Tuesday, May 8th at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Banana.
Thank you.
Any questions? Chuck.
Nothing more tonight, thanks.
Mark.
Nothing, thank you.
Joe.
Nothing, thanks.
And the missing chair, empty chair. All right, well, next item on the agenda is approval of accounts payable in the amount of $550,900.87 and payroll in the amount of $368,064.72. I'll move, make a motion that that be approved.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zmuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that approval is unanimous. We're now at the second series of visitor and public comments for this evening. If anybody wishes to address the board, please approach the podium. Please state your name and address. And if you could confine your remarks to
the screen. Hey, Rich Gamble on Hopkinsville Road. The other thing I want to comment on, you hear me very clearly, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Half of the participants in presentation at this end, we couldn't hear. And same with Susan, your mic, I don't know if you have your volume turned up. Same with Justin. Maybe if you can do an audio check before you start a meeting so that everybody can hear what's being said. Or you get some type of a bell mic or something, because it's very frustrating when you got this humming from the room and you can't hear what people are saying. So that's the only recommendation I have. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Raise your hand.
Was it that you couldn't hear?
I told the guy getting up, I said,
use the microphone. Did you say there was a hum, or did you say
you couldn't hear? Yeah, you could hear the hum from the air conditioning. And when you're talking about air, okay. It's hard to understand what they
do. But you know, it's a good reminder to remind not all of us, but the presenters should use the mic. So.
This side of the room, we have good. I thought we had just been something in the wireless pickup on the mics. And Chuck, his was good. Well, Matt didn't use a microphone, but you can hear it.
Not sure if you complimented her somewhere or what. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, it's very important to see you hear the pump. You can't hear what people are saying.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Susan Cryer. I live at 1405 Woodhaven Drive in Hummelstown, which is in Harry's Function. I just want to thank you all for your service. I have a lot going on in the last few months, past year. And I am here to just reinforce some of the earlier comments regarding the rec center. Thank you very much, Susan, for your comments regarding the ability for all of us to work together. I also very much support a new recreation center. I understand the need for that. But I do have some concerns about the funding. When I looked at the website and looked at the current information about funding, it's and I understand why. It's not very as specific in some areas. So I look forward to that rolling out. But my real comment tonight is that I really hope that we can work together so that one really good initiative doesn't, you know, impact the community in a way that others lose. So I hope that it can be a win-win situation, and that when the funding is worked out, that it's a mutually agreeable method that the library can benefit from as well as the rec center. So again, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Susan. Anyone else? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. By Mr. Engel, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And we are here.